Our reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36, and as Bob said, it's a bit weird. Just before this, Jesus has been trying to get his disciples to understand what's about to happen to him as he goes down to Jerusalem. And so the reading starts this way. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days and told no one of the things they had seen. And this is the word of the Lord. Be to God.
In the movie from the Dead Poets Society, you might remember Robin Williams plays the character, the teacher at this college. Mr. Keating is his name. And there's a scene in the movie where he invites the students to stand upon the desks. The students are all in the back rows, and Keating leaps up onto his desk. "Keating, why do I stand up here? Anybody?" "Charlie, to feel taller." "Keating, no." Then kicking the bell on the table with his foot. "Keating, thank you for playing, Mr. Dalton. I stand up here on my desk to remind yourself that we must constantly look at things differently, in a different way." Keating glances around the room atop of the desk. "Keating, you see, the world looks very different from up here. You don't believe me? Come, see for yourself. Come. Come on." Charlie and Neil quickly rise from their seats and go to the front of the classroom. The rest of the class follows them. While Keating continues speaking, Neil and Charlie join him on the desk, and Keating then jumps down. "Keating, just when you think you know all there is about something, you have to look at it in another way. Even though it may seem silly or wrong, you must try. Now, when you read, don't just consider what the author thinks. Consider what you think."
"Why do I stand up here? Anybody?"
"To feel taller."
"No. Thank you for playing, Mr. Dalton. I stand upon my desk to remind myself that we must constantly look at things in a different way." "See, the world looks very different from up here. You don't believe me? Come see for yourselves. Come on. Come on. Just when you think you know something, you have to look at it in another way. Even though it may seem silly or wrong, you must try. Now, when you read, don't just consider what the author thinks. Consider what you think. Boys, you must strive to find your own voice. Because the longer you wait to begin, the less likely you are to find it at all. Thoreau said most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Don't be resigned to that. Break out. Now, don't just walk off the edge like lemmings. Look around you. There you go, Mr. Christie. Thank you. Yes. Dare to strike out and find new ground."
A minister was asked to visit a sick woman in hospital, in fact, very close to death. They talked for a few minutes, small talk, nothing earth-shattering. And then the pastor begins to leave and she asks the woman, "Would you like to pray?" "Yes, of course," the woman said. "That's why I called for you." "Yes, please." Well, the minister, she inquires, "What exactly would you like me to pray for?" The reply from the elderly dying woman was, "For God to heal me." Tentatively and uncertain, fumbling over words, the minister, she prays. And when the amen is pronounced, the elderly woman says, "You know, I think it's worked. I'm healed." She gets out of bed, begins to run up and down the hall, shouting and praising God, "I'm healed! I'm healed! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord!" Meanwhile, the young minister, in a daze, she stumbles to the stairwell, walks down 5 flights of stairs, makes her way to the car, fumbles with the keys, and looks to heaven and says, "Don't you ever do that to me again." She had a mountaintop experience, but she didn't know what to do with it. Life is like that. Profound moments sometimes just fall into our lap and we're not prepared. We get caught off guard and we're unsure of what we are to do with them. To paraphrase a beer advertisement on TV for Victoria Bitter, which the ad suggests that a thirst for this beer in particular can happen anytime, anyhow. You can get it ironing a shirt like I did this morning. You can get it chasing a cow. As a matter of fact, I've got it now. You remember that ad? Yeah. Divine moments where you are sometimes just happen. The presence of God. The presence of God and these divine moments just do not stay in the Bible. They're not just biblical stories or of the saints of the church. They can happen to anyone, anywhere, anytime, anyhow, and some are even heard to say, "As a matter of fact, I've got it now." Peter, James, and John were invited to the mountain to pray. A usual occurrence, happened most of the time, because that's what you did in those days. You went up a mountain and you prayed. We're told that they were very tired and sleepy and nearly dozed off, like people do in church at this time of the sermon, about now. Anybody awake? While they were attempting to sleep or dozing off, something extraordinary happens. 2 dead guys, I mean 2 dead, long ago dead guys, legends of the faith, heroes of the Bible, Moses and Elijah, appear next to Jesus. And they stand with Jesus and they're chatting about stuff. Then Jesus was transfigured. I should have had this queued up, shouldn't I? With the lighting tech guru to make me all glow nice and bright. But no, we won't do that this morning. But just at that moment, Jesus' face transfigured and shone, and his clothes looked like they'd been put in nappy sand, and they were all bright and happy. And it was very, very good. All but for a moment. It was for them as if the window of heaven had been pulled open and eternity was there. And Jesus' divine nature was revealed like they had never seen before, like the parrot or the woman in the painting. And God spoke out of a cloud, affirming that this bloke Jesus was the real thing. Listen to him. God incarnate, God in flesh. It was for a moment that God ripped open the natural and poured out a supernatural moment, a glimpse, a revelation. It was priceless. It was a moment when words were so inadequate. And as Chris highlighted, it was a little bit weird. That light that shone some 30 years before over the tiny stable of Bethlehem was now shining through this adult Jesus. What was spoken at Jesus' baptism was repeated here. This is my son. Listen to him. This was God's affirmation of Jesus. God's affirmation of Jesus. The disciples' desire was to keep that moment. They wanted to build tents and stay there and capture the moment and never come down. But as quickly as that window was open, the window was closed. It was an ordinary day, like any other day. Quite normal, nothing special. The place, the people, the occasions were the same. It was a warm day. It was a sunny day. And it was about lunchtime. It was like any other Wednesday. And yet that Wednesday was the day that I saw Jesus. We were gathered in the college chapel at Park and Wesley College for our weekly service, worship service, and Holy Communion. It was ordinary. It's like we'd done every other Wednesday. The lecturer was probably the same, who was the preacher. Very academic and very systematic in his approach. And quite boring. Well, maybe. I can't actually recall the sermon. But we were led through the Holy Communion liturgy, the prayers, which again was all normal. Very familiar. I had thoughts about what was for lunch. I had thoughts about, should I be studying rather than sitting here in this same old worship experience? This repetitious, compulsory event of Bible college, Wednesday lunchtime chapel service. Very ordinary. Yet in an instant, my wandering mind was jolted back to the present when the lecturer assumed the position of serving Holy Communion. Well, he broke the bread and stretched his arms outwards. And it was here, at that moment, that I saw Jesus, illuminated and in all his glory. What I saw from behind this man, this ordinary bloke, was an aura, a presence. I believed it to be Jesus inviting me to partake in the body and wine of Christ, to be reaffirmed in my call to ministry and affirmation of my faith. No one else saw what I saw. No one. But Jesus was there saying, come. And I wept. Now, I wept inwardly, of course, because you don't weep outwardly, a bloke at Bible college. Yeah, so I just wept on the inside. Otherwise, everyone would think that I was a bit of a nut. But it was at that moment that God decided to reveal God's self to me in a way that I will never forget. I wanted that moment to last. I wanted to stay there because that was a special moment. It felt like eternity. I was totally unprepared. It just happened. You see, the Transfiguration story, it can be pulled apart. We can analyze the picture of Raphael's painting and talk about who are the people, what are they doing, why is Jesus floating, what's Moses got to do with it, Elijah, and all that sort of stuff. We can talk about the voice of God booming from the clouds of an affirmation of God. Listen to him, believe in him. But you may recall that mountains and clouds are synonymous with God speaking in the Old Testament. Remember, Moses goes up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. There's a cloud and the voice of God. Elijah also hears the voice of God up a mountain in clouds. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a mountain, and there's clouds and voices from heaven. Yet I think this story, this transfiguration story, particularly at the Sunday before we start the period of Lent, which starts with Ash Wednesday this week, for us non-Jewish, educated, middle, upper middle class Australians, in that God has chosen this moment, to reveal Jesus' full nature to ordinary blokes, to ordinary people, in an ordinary time. Jesus was revealed to me when I least expected it, when I was totally unprepared for it. I didn't look for Jesus. I didn't conjure up the emotion. I didn't whip up a frenzy of emotional worship or anything like that. I didn't even pray to have a revelation. It just happened. It's like the VB ad, the beer ad. As a matter of fact, I've got it now. The story of the transfiguration, the story of that young pastor, my story, all have in common is this: nobody was expecting what they got. Total surprise. And that makes it an epiphany, a sacred revelation, a gift, and a moment of grace. Today's point is that God finds us. God finds us when we least expect it. Sometimes in the ordinary, and sometimes in the extraordinary. When that happens, the ordinary and the insignificant become extraordinary and very significant. We do not and cannot make God reveal God's self to us. We are not in a position to tell God to show up or to make the holy revealed to us. And you know what? We are not to cling to those experiences when they happen. The mountaintop experience, because we've got to come down onto the level playing field. Let us not be like the disciples and nearly miss the great moments of God when we're half asleep or unprepared. Rather, let us be alert. Let us be awake for the moments of God. And maybe this period of Lent, this leading up to Easter, might be a time for reflecting on the God moments in your life. The old saying is true: be alert. God knows we need more alerts. A poem to conclude. Through clouds of wonderment, of uncertainty, of anxiety sometimes, still we hear the voice of God proclaiming the presence of Christ in the midst of our day-to-day living. This is my child, the chosen one. Listen to him. We pause. What do we hear? What hopes do we hold? How is life changed by this experience of knowing we live in the presence of God's chosen one? What happened to us since these words were first written? What transfiguration moments have played with us on this path? What hopes has God held in us? And how have these hopes grown and changed us? If we were to write them again, what words would we use? How do we perceive Christ present in this different world? The season closes. Another begins with its journey, leading to a cross, and through that cross, to new life. But there is much we must encounter before we reach that empty tomb. take these hopes, birthed in the memory of God's tender, firm voice, proclaiming that whatever we are in the presence of God. Let's continue in our worship by singing the song, "Where the Spirit is, there is freedom."